KUJZ is 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Dan, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, to go, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
All righty. Welcome to Sports Talk. It's a Wednesday, as you can tell, when Elmo makes his appearance just past 4 o'clock. Just your friendly neighborhood reminder. Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. I guess tonight is mostly NBA dominated. I think we've got just a trio of games involving top 25 teams at the collegiate level. Got a nice old school throwback Big East matchup between St. John's and Villanova going on right now. That started at 3:30. By the way, we mock them in football. How about Rutgers in basketball? Like a team of players and scorers and winning like games and things like that. It's almost disturbing because their move to the Big Ten. Funny stuff, man. That day when whoever the chancellor, the administrator, the athletic director of Rutgers was who got up there and talk about why they were invited, and then I think it was still Jim Delaney who was the commissioner, and they started talking about the academic benefits, and people are like, yeah, it had nothing to do with you, with the TV and the money and maybe tapping in to the North Jersey, Philadelphia, or New York market. No way it was that. But their last winning season, just a winning record, was 2006 when they were still in the Big East and they were sub 500 in conference. The last time they had a winning conference record of any kind was 1991, the last time they made the tournament.
Rutgers, is that a good academic school?
No, it's a safety school.
Oh, no.
Although it's a university, so who am I to say? That was the running joke among people in Jersey. You had your like top five schools where you were targeted, and you know the admission being in state, it was known as your safety school.
Right. It probably was like a San Jose City for me. Well, not literally San Jose City College, but San Jose State University
right.
that we call San Jose City, because it was like the high school counselors are talking to you. Hey, apply for big time state schools or UC programs. Or out of state, at state or university programs. And then if you don't get into any of them, just, you can go to San Jose State. It's totally fine. Was it just like a commuter school or something? Because, I mean, academically, Rutgers just sounds so bad at just like everything. Like just everything.
First of all, it's in Piscataway, New Jersey, and I don't even know where to begin there.
It is just a funny sounding name.
It is a funny sounding name. I mean, hey. 40-something years ago when Rutgers was an independent before the birth of the Big East, they made the Final Four. That was the year we were talking about a couple of days ago when Michigan and Indiana and UCLA were in the Final Four, the last perfect team, Bobby Knight's 1976 Hoosiers. And that was kind of a big deal living in Jersey. They had a couple of guys who had their NBA cup of coffee in Eddie Jordan, who I think later coached the Scarlet Knights, and Hollis Copeland. Yeah, when your last hurrah was as America's was celebrating the bicentennial, they were kind of a run and gun team.
It just, man, the football program is not good, and their only good run was with Greg Schiano, and they brought him
back. They were
back.
In the Big East, too.
Well, right. So, like, now it just, like, they're not ever going to be competitive in the Big Ten. In New Jersey and Piscataway doesn't strike me as a great college sports town that they would be all in on the Scarlet Knights. Basketball is not going well. None of this makes sense, and it seems so hopeless.
I didn't see if, because the problem with the Big Ten this year is it's the Big 14, and they've got like 10 teams, both bracketologists, with a chance to get into the tournament. And I don't know if the Scarlotians are on that list, but yeah, they're 18-10 overall, 9-8 in the Big Ten, so... We'll see. They're a defense-minded team. But again, it's Rutgers. Yes, somebody did mention, didn't Tony Soprano go to Rutgers? Maybe for a semester or two, but...
A thrilling endorsement for the university, right. That a fictional character who was probably...
A mafia character.
Yeah, a mafia guy went to that school. That's great. Good stuff.
Not his nephew, the son of the original, the Don of the Soprano family, Jackie April. He was supposedly going to Rutgers for a while, wanted to get into what you would call the family business, was what we used to refer to as a Guido, a phony tough guy who was always trying to act like they had connections, didn't, ended up getting shot in the head because of a misdeed. So, by the way, another glowing evaluation of Rutgers from the fictional TV series. It's enough to give you a headache, and I don't mean just the getting whacked with a 9 to the back of the head.
Does that cause a headache, though? I mean, would there...
Very short. The shortest headache on record.
It would end. You'd probably think, ow, this hurts. I wanted to... Oh, well, there I go. Okay.
It's pain. I'm dead. Okay, there. Recovery. Didn't even have time for an leave. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So, the Twitter conversation today about... If you were taken captive and you're a hostage, and those who have you in captivity are allowing you to use social media to post, and you wanted to get a message to your friends or family or a potential rescuer on Twitter, what would it be? And mine was like, I have a birthday coming up soon, hoping to get as much Philadelphia Flyer and Boston Celtics gear as possible. People would be like, uh-oh, something's wrong. We got to find him. Track that IP address. All right, 284-8571 to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go, and bring in Fred. Fred, how's it going?
Good. We listened to you on the 16th hole, and yeah, we do like to call and abuse you every once in a while because of we get in trouble for, like, going to a poker game instead of church one Sunday, and we get caught. We get yelled at. We like to pass that forward to you, so that's why we call and bust your chops every once in a while. Other than that, hey, we were thinking, can you ever do, like, a show, like, at the 19th hole at one of the golf courses, and we could, you know, come and all chat with you as we come off the links? And what do you think about that idea? Think sales would buy that?
Maybe. We've done shows at golf courses. The problem is they're usually kind of off the beaten path, and we need a really strong internet connection. And the last time we did it, we kept dropping out.
Hmm. hell.
And by the way, if that's the upside, you drunk golfers coming in to bust my balls after you finish your round, yeah, I don't know how that appealing that is to me.
Well, we won't say anything. We'll just pretend you're in the golf ball pickup cart, and we'll try to hit you with our clubs from a long distance away and bounce off you. How's that?
Yeah, there you go. That became a lot more attractive, Fred. Thanks a lot. Take it easy. Jackie Jr., that was it. Jackie Aprile's son, who was an idiot.
I actually just thought, I don't know if there would be a way, because we would need just about the world's longest extension cord or some sort of very quiet portable generator, but doing a show with you while you golf would be interesting.
That would be better. Wireless headset?
Yeah, we'd have to like tape delay it or something like that. You would have to try really hard not to swear, or we'd have to record it and
while
then use
I'm
it
golfing,
as a podcast
good.
Or something, yeah. Maybe we do like a par three course, pretty low stakes, something like that. Just so you're just out there, you're getting into the swing of things, shaking off the rust of winter. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that's going to happen. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I wanted to get to some NBA because two pretty entertaining games going on last night between the Blazers and then the Laker game. You know, you got to see Portland, Boston, and LA, New Orleans. And I guess if you're a Blazer fan, it's kind of an interesting night because, well, A, obviously you're rooting for your team, and then you got to root for a team you most likely hate because you're rooting against New Orleans, who's was kind of making their move on the outside from behind you. But so it turned out half right. Portland lost, but so did the Pellies. And the Celtics just, you know, revealed what many of us know. Portland is just so limited defensively. I know they've got a good rim protector, but one of the reasons he gets a lot of blocks is because the perimeter defenders get smoked so often that guys have a free run to the bucket. And sure, Jason Tatum had an explosion and a career night from downtown. He was 8 of 12 from three-point land. And, you know, that's not always a sign of terrible defense, but there were some of them. Three or four of those three-pointers, where it was just wide open. I mean, he took that one step back, which is like, I don't know, a borderline logo shot and not really easy to defend. But Carmelo Anthony, off. Gary Trent couldn't throw it in the ocean from a boat. And just, again, their defensive prowess is not it's not good. And yeah, I am noting the absence of their elite player in Damian Lillard. But I'm not making this up. And I understand that when you're in a town or a city that is very fill-in-the-blank centric. Like, if you're in Corvallis, you could throw something out there about Oregon State. If you're in Eugene, about the Ducks. But Portland, obviously, the sports heartbeat are the Trailblazers. And I didn't get the guys' names. I don't really want to call them out. They do a radio show. I think it's middays up there. I don't even know what the stations are. The game, the... Me either. I'm not one of these. I know a lot of people in Portland and local radio. Did you hear the news about what's happening? No. I don't care. Just has no impact on me. So this is a poll today. Portland radio, major market, NBA city. If this isn't a prime example of bad homerism. So the poll question, two options. Who would you rather have right now? Yusuf Nurkic or Jason Tatum? And it's like, what do you mean? But by the way, in case you didn't think Homerism wasn't alive and well and firmly rooted and just completely leading people down deluded lane, 25% of the people voted for Nurkic, who hasn't even played this year, and who knows when he's coming back. And don't get me wrong, he's a really easy athlete to like and root for, but versus a 21-year-old in Tatum, who by the end of the season may be considered, you know, first or second team All-NBA. It's just absolutely bonkers. And the responses, I'll tell you the truth, rather than kind of ripping them, there were a few, a noticeable percentage of the responses that were like, you're kidding, right? I mean, I'm trying to put that into a proper perspective. In essence, they sound like the Bears fans from Saturday Night Live. So, who do you think would win the Indy 500? Bobby Unser, AJ Foyt, or Coach Ditka driving the team bus? Well, that would depend. And it's like, what's the difference in that question between that and do you want a guy who right now is second tier elite? I mean, I'm not going to, he's too young. He's getting better. Where he is now is better than where he was last year, the year before. But, I mean, he's starting to elbow his way into the conversation with guys like LeBron and Kawhi and AD and Damian Lillard and Harden and Westbrook. And you guys know the list as well as I do.
Did we miss some sort of trade rumor where Tatum was potentially a part of a deal when they got Nurkic?
No, this was just,
some kind?
It's I think these guys just, I don't know. If in a market like that, radio operates differently in every market depending on personnel available. And if they have their guy who does their poll was like, and you never know, especially if it's an intern born and raised in Portland, might see life through a pinwheel lens and just thinks that the immediate moment you put on a Blazers jersey, you're a combination of Wilt, Bird, Magic, and Kareem. You know, one of those guys. And, of course, Tatum played last night. Who would you rather have now, Nurk or Tatum? I'd rather have Nurk. Well, you're an idiot. So,
because it's not, yeah, it's nonsensical. Strange. It's very, we've put up some very strange polls as well.
Deliberately.
And, right, yeah, but that was kind
not
of.
Not to convince anybody of anything. Not to convince people we don't know what we're talking about.
Well, yeah, the one that I keep thinking of is the alien with two heads. Would you play him at quarterback or defensive back, which I would think that probably a lot of people would make fun of, but then you think about it for a little bit and you can make an argument for either side. This one, you can't really make an argument to either side, it feels like.
Well, you can't. I can't make a put it this way. There's not one general manager, not one personnel guy, not one fan who knows the game at all that would make anything but the Tatum pick. It's literally as simple as that. It's not even a negotiation. But bottom line is the Blazers have now fallen 7 games below 500. They're 26-33. They got 23 games left. Twice back in January, they fell to 8 games below 500. And by the way, and now they hit the road for 4 of their next 5. And I think I read from the Blazers site that Lillard did not even make the trip. So for folks who were wondering when he might return, I don't think there's a direct timetable right now. I'll find that out. I'll hit up Blazers.com because he's listed as out. And let's see. All right. This just got updated 7 hours ago. He will travel with the Blazers, but he's expected to be sidelined a couple more games. So he probably won't play against Indy or Atlanta. They're gunning for Orlando because he wants to go to the Magic Kingdom. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Josh. Josh, how's it going?
Hey, buddy, I don't even know who these Blazer fans are, because you take Nurkic over Tatum. I don't even know if I'd take Nurkic over Whiteside at this point.
No, they host a show up there. So I don't know if they were just totally playing to the fan base, or I don't know if that what good that does them. It's just
well, they had to have been pandering to a fan base. But any true fan, if you're a true Blazer fan, you're. I'm sorry, Nurkic. Like, yeah, he when he's healthy, he is a good player. Him and Dame with the pick and roll, they had that down to a science. But, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Look at the stat line. I still don't think that you start him ever over Whiteside. Hassan Whiteside, I know he's in a contract year, but I say re-sign that dude. I mean, we're down four starters. If we have four healthy starters with Hassan Whiteside putting up those numbers, we're not talking about them struggling for a playoff spot. We're talking about a top three seed.
No, and with the way he's playing, and he's a better rim protector, but like I said, I saw that poll, and it was like, wow, that is about as delusional, maybe. I don't know if that's the right word, as I've seen recently, for sure.
Super delusional. That's Homer personified right there. I mean, I can't even explain. Like I said, as a passionate Blazer fan, I would trade Nurkic in my left arm to have Jason Tatum right now.
Wow, left arm. All right. I'm going to vote against that just for the sake of your family, but I see your point, Josh.
Hey, take care, guys.
Take it easy. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Could also jump in via the text line 3210824. I need to find this poll, and I need to find out if the, because there was about 194 votes. I think it was early on, so I'd like to see if people came to their senses or offered up an element of logic. But anyway, gang, 2848, Dirt and Sprague, that's who they are. They're on from noon to 3, and like I said, I would not be able to pick out. Okay, here it is. Who would you rather have on your roster, Nurkic or Tatum? 22% for Nurk, 78% for Tatum. So that's kooky talk, I tell you, it's kooky talk. All right, let's take a break, come back, have Coors Light update, and remember my conversation with Coach Kevin McKenna talking Oregon men's basketball pending. 95-3 The Score.
Watch out now.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
Listen to the first.
Who can't say her last name? Who are showing up to shows today to talk about this remarkable achievement that no one's ever done before in the history of Division I basketball and saying to each other on the air, is it Ionescu? Or right before they go to tape to their producer, how do you say her name? And I'm not trying to shame anyone. This is a tough job that we do to know all the things about all the sports and teams and players. And some people don't make it a priority to know about women's sports. But when someone is doing this, that is your job. As much as it is to figure out something about Wilder Fury if you don't watch boxing,
yeah, I thought that was an interesting point made by Sarah Spain of ESPN, that even to this late date, people are on Twitter asking, how do you pronounce Sabrina's last name? And it's like, it's the Pac-12. It's the fourth year they were in the Final Four. And we talked about it last week that The week before that, you know, you started to hear a buzz about Wilder and Fury, and we didn't know much about them. So we crazily, actually, because it was a topic that people on, you know, sports talk radio showed an interest in, took the time, did some research, brushed up on it, talked about it, were much more well-schooled the last few days of last week than we were the few days before that than we were the week before that. And actually, a little later on in the, maybe at the end of the hour here, it's about 2 minutes. I want you to hear the entirety of what Sarah Spain had to say, kind of calling out her colleagues like 2,000, 1,000, 1,000. It was the ESPN national game, and maybe it's not your favorite sport, but it, by the way, all of a sudden, it's like the lead story on the station we have on right now. Oh, that's an ad? Witness the Wonder. Very good. Hey, it's ESPN. It very easily could have been that. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in John. John, good afternoon. How's it going?
It's going great, Steve. My comments kind of just pertain to both Peyton Pritchard and Sabrina Ionescu. Of course, you know, she is, you know, one of a kind, and her speech, I guess you would say, at Kobe's memorial, and then to perform like that, and then Peyton, you know, everything he's done. As a 60 years, I've been living and dying with the Ducks. been like a number one priority for me, probably for all those years. Just fantastic to see these two great young athletes here. And I guess I just kind of like to hear what you might have to say. I'll take it off the air, but what your thoughts on both Peyton Pritchard and Sabrina Ionescu and the uniqueness of having two legendary athletes here, both completing their fourth year, both seniors. Just kind of would like to hear what you've got to say about the two of them, Steve.
All right.
That's okay.
Thanks a lot, John. Always appreciate you calling. Yeah, when you consider that they both got here as freshmen. One, an in-state superstar, geez, Steve, in Peyton, who, think about this, he graduated middle school, and since then, he's played in four straight state high school tournaments, won them all. He's been to a Final Four. He's always in the big dance. It's like, all he does is play in meaningful games at the high school and collegiate level. Sabrina, kind of the same thing. And first of all, what did they each do? They were starters on, in essence, the first time that program made the Final Four. I know everybody talks about the Tall Furs, but there was no Final Four then. There were eight teams, then there were four. There wasn't a regional, just no. The answer is you're wrong. There was no Final Four till the 50s. But anyway, record setters, standard setters, and like John said, that particular Monday where a young woman, remember, she's only 22. Just because she has maturity beyond her years doesn't change how many years she has been on the earth. To go down there at such an international event with so much emotion as the Bryant Memorial, and, you know, while Jordan is getting up there and speaking and the biggest names in the game, she's right there. And she brought as much compassion, humanity, and eloquence as anybody did or could possibly expect. And then feeling ill, remember they were talking about, while they were taking part in a pregame meal, she couldn't keep anything down. And then while they were in the, what was it, their pregame shoot-around, she was kind of laying down in the locker room trying to get healthy. And then to go out and record the first triple-double against a top-five team, make it a back-to-back triple-double, her 26th triple-double, to become the first-ever member of the 2000, 1000, 1000 club. Yeah. Just absolutely incredible. As a matter of fact, words seem inadequate because I've told so many people to Google Sabrina and Kobe Memorial who hadn't seen the entirety of the speech. And yeah, It won't leave a dry eye. And in the case of both Sabrina and Peyton, the decision to return. I mean, he wasn't going to be a first-round pick. I'm not even sure if he left after last year, if he'd have been more than a late second-round pick. But the decision to come back here and make another run at the ultimate prize, I think, speaks volumes about the two of them. All right, and speaking of that and Oregon men's basketball, been mentioning all day that gonna have a little chat, and let's get to the phone lines and bring in our special guest. Time to talk some Duck Hoops. Civil War set for tomorrow night at Matt Knight Arena. Lot on the line, three games left in the regular season. Our guest is in his 10th season on the bench. Kevin McKenna joins us. Coach, how's life treating you these days?
All good, thank you.
General question, it's been kind of a wild basketball season in conference nationally. We saw three of the top four teams lose this past weekend. So when you consider the ups, the downs, the roller coaster, here you are, just a game behind for the conference lead, ranked in the top 15. You got three games at home. How you guys feeling about where the Ducks are hitting this home stretch?
Well, we just got to keep kind of staying the course and trying to keep getting better. And I thought defensively we made a big jump in that second half against Arizona in particular and allowed us to get a win down there. But that's going to be the biggest thing, I think, is just maintaining a sense of, you know, defense is going to help us win these games. And if we don't defend, it gives the other team energy and makes it harder for us for sure.
You know, you guys have played six overtime games. You become kind of the modern-day cardiac kids. But since that Gonzaga loss, you've won the next five, which is impressive. What does it say about this group that somehow you just grind and find a way to the finish line, you know, when every possession matters?
Well, we've had some really a lot of close games, which has allowed us to, I think, gain some confidence. You know, when we got into the overtime against Arizona, everybody said, hey, we've won four of these, let's get a fifth one. And, you know, everybody just kind of jumped on with it and had a little confidence. And you know, Shakur really stepped up in that overtime game, scored some big buckets, and everybody made plays. And that, you know, Will made a good play to pass that game-winning layup to Shakur. But a lot of things didn't get noticed in that, and that was the fact that Shakur kind of tipped it out. You know, the other day they were going to get a rebound, we were going to have to foul, but he knocked it out of there. Just a little play like that is what was the difference in the game at the end.
You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about the big fella, Nafali Dante. Of course, didn't join the team till mid-December. Hurt his knee against Washington. Still hasn't returned. We've heard some talk this week, so his status for this game tomorrow and, you know, the value of having his size and skill set entering such a critical juncture of the season.
Not really sure what his status is yet. We'll see at practice today again how he's looking. But, you know, in the Arizona game, the first time we played him, he scored five really easy baskets inside. And he just has a knack and a really good feel around the basket to score. And he's got great hands. And he gives us size in there. And he needs some inside scoring to balance out, you know, what Peyton's doing and Chris and Anthony and some of our perimeter guys. But we could definitely use an anchor in there to throw it to and protect the rim a little bit.
Talking Duck Hoops with Coach McKenna. This team obviously taking care of business at home. You've run the table. The crowd lifts you up. But in a sport like college hoops where most of the non-conference games are home, and when you aspire like this program does, how key is it to be a powerhouse at home, which in turn could maybe give you some wiggle room during some tough road trips?
Well, the home crowd has been great for us, and we embrace it, and we love the fact that they are loud and give our guys some energy. It's been tough for us on the road this year. We do have some young players when you're playing, you know, three freshmen quite a bit of time, and it's a new thing for them. They're not used to, and so we've had our struggles on the road, but we have had some good wins on the road. And on the flip side of that, it seems like, you know, we've got a number next to our name, and everybody kind of is gunning for us. They're all doing promos for our game and passing out flashlights and T-shirts, and you know, it's kind of a we're taking everybody's best haymaker, so to speak, and you know, we've done okay, but We could still do better, but really, we really do enjoy being home, and we got to take advantage of that home court advantage for sure.
Let's get to some of the guys. I mean, Peyton Pritchard has triggered a lot of what's gone right. He was a starter on the Final Four team, the leader of this really strong Duck team. Again, when you think of the freshman that arrived from West Lynn to the senior now getting all this national acclaim, what stands out about his game and what he's meant to this program?
Well, I think the biggest thing about Peyton is his work ethic. We've had a few guys come through here that have been really good workers. Peyton's right up there with all of them in terms of, guys like Dylan Brooks, as far as what he does in addition to the practices and his preparation. And, the other guy that comes to mind to me is Kyle Korver, who we had at Creighton. And those two guys and Peyton are probably the top three we've had in terms of just, doing extra stuff all the time to the point where we almost have to chew him out of the gym. And, Peyton had probably one of the best individual performances I've seen in that Arizona game and just kind of carried us. And he's been a really good leader this year. He's leading by example. He's there every day, 30, 40 minutes before practice. He's always shooting after. There's a reason why he's had this success, and that's the determination he has. And he's a winner. You win four state championships in high school, and you do what he's done here. Oregon's all-time winningest player. There's a lot of good things you can say about Peyton, and he backs him up with his play on the floor.
A few final thoughts for Coach McKenna. Another guy I want to hit on is Will Richardson. You mentioned that incredible dish to Justin for the Gamers Saturday. That's about as court-aware as you can get. And he was a pretty highly touted recruit coming across the country. He starts, he comes off the bench. How pleased are you coaches with how his game has grown, and the evolution of him now as a sophomore?
Well, as Will's strength has improved and his confidence has improved, he's also put in a lot of time, especially with his shooting in the offseason. He did a really good kind of a makeover on his shot and really became consistent with his footwork, which has allowed him to shoot a really good percentage and just made him a better all-around player because now, he had the drives before, but now he's stronger, can shoot the three. He's kind of a dual-threat guy that can put on the floor and make plays off the bounce and at the rim, and he's just really kind of coming into his own and turned out to be a really good player for us.
Yeah, I got to ask you about a North Jersey guy, Shakur Justin. When you guys bring in a one-year transfer with his experience, you've obviously got different expectations. You mentioned he was fantastic at Arizona, and you've had some injuries among the bigs. So how important of a contributor has he been coming over from UNLV?
He's been a really good player for us and a physical guy that sets good screens and is really competitive and vocal. And he's given us some juice, in the huddles and at practice. And no pun intended with the juice. But he just gives a lot of effort. And when he's locked in and tuned in, he's as good a big guy as there is in the conference.
Lastly, with Oregon State coming to town, they got you in Corvallis 3 weeks ago. They won both last year. Now you get them at home. There's a lot on the line, a familiar foe. What is it about this team, their strengths and the challenges that they present?
Well, they've got three veteran guys, that have been there for a while. And, Ethan Thompson and Trey Stinkle and Kelly, those three guys are veteran guys that have won some games and have played with some confidence, played together for a while, and they beat us a few times. So, they've got that confidence. We're going to have to figure out a way at home to turn the tables and get a win and stay in the hunt for that championship. But they're definitely a good team. They beat really good teams this year. They beat Colorado on the road and Arizona at home and us. So they're going to definitely be fired up to play, and hopefully our guys will be ready for it as well.
Folks, he's Kevin McKenna. He and the Ducks at Matt Knight Arena for the Civil War tomorrow night. Place should be rocking. Go out and support this team, storming towards another NCAA bid. Coach, always appreciate the time. Best of luck against the Beavs, and I hope we can catch up soon.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
All right. Take big one. Remember, if the Ducks beat the Beavs, they put the pressure on Arizona State and Colorado to sweep on the road to keep pace. Take a break. Back with more sports talk. 95.3 The Score.
95.3 The Score is your home for live sports talk all day, every day. Download the TuneIn app and take 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go.
Pelham up to 24. Tatum leading all scorers with 30. Oh, he's salivating now, Scout. He's salivating, Scout. Jason Tatum. Here's Tatum. On Carmelo. Sidestep three ball. Bang, bang, bang. JT for three.
JT for three. That was Jason Tatum of Celtics. 8 3-pointers. Boston gets just wrecked by him. 36 points. Knock off the Blazers. 118-106. Boston at Utah tonight. You know, it's funny. We talked about him as the new superstars in the NBA right now. Maybe you throw Donovan Mitchell on there as they go from just having a great rookie year to a great second year to a great third year. And certainly those guys are on the list. And right now, Tatum, I mean, if you look at where his game has gone from being the third pick in the, I guess it was the 17 draft. Yeah, so 17, 18, 18, 19, 19, 20 this year. When and by the way, you're talking about a guy who they picked and was like, you're 19 years old. You're now an NBA starting small forward. And he started and played all 80 games as a rookie. He started and played 79 games last year. Started and played all 53 games this year. He's only 21. He's a hell of a player. I mean, he's hitting. He's already about a career 40% shooter from downtown. He's a good rebounder. You know, he's as an actual forward, he doesn't handle the ball all that much. He's not a facilitator or a distributor, but good defender. Length, and you can just see the what would it be called, a geometric progression numerically from 14 points a game to 16 points a game to 23 points a game this year, by the way. And I don't know if he was an old rookie. He played just the 1 year at Duke. He was an all-star this year. He was a McDonald's All-American. Yeah, he was first league All-Rookie, so he's a fabulous player. And, you know, you start looking at that draft, which I always talk about, is a great rabbit hole. If you ever have a flight delay and you're a particular fan of a sport, go check a draft class and start scrolling and be like, well, that was a bad call. Wow, how'd they get that guy there? Is that guy as good as I thought he was going to be? And, you know, you keep going. And, you know, just the top 10 in that class. I mean, Markel Fultz obviously hasn't panned out. I don't even know if he's played in half the games he's been eligible for. This year, since the move to Orlando. Yeah, that's it. I mixed and matched when I should not have tried to make an evaluation based on an amalgam. He didn't play at all for Philly. He played a total of, what, 34 games over 2 years. He's actually a nice player now for Orlando, but when you're number one and you don't play for the first year or two, people are kind of like, whatever, forget about that guy, which isn't fair. But it doesn't make it any less true. De'Aaron Fox has been great. Lauri Markkanen has been outstanding. By the way, the number 10 pick in that draft, Zach Collins, who was taken by Sacramento and traded immediately. Immediately. He was part of that first there was a trade that involved him as draft pick, where Tyreek Evans, Buddy Hield was involved, DeMarcus Cousins. And then on draft day, they took him and traded him to the Blazers for Harry Giles and Justin Jackson. Then, of course, he had a really strong finish to last year for Portland, had some really good moments in the playoffs, and got hurt this year. But anyway, today being a Wednesday means we have the joy that is bestowed upon us every week as we get a visit from our friends at Green Hill, 95.3 The Score. Alrighty, folks, we've achieved another yay day in the studio. Sarah from Green Hill is here, and we've got a very handsome boy.
Yes, we do.
I don't know if I've ever seen a dog quite with his color, that mix. I would imagine a pity mix, but look what you tell us about this
beautiful
dog.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely a pity for sure, and maybe a little bit of Great Dane in there.
Okay.
He's a year old, so we have Percival today. He's a pity mix, 1 year old, weighs about 70 pounds. He's even, I would consider him a little underweight, so he's definitely going to be a big dog. He is pretty shy at first, but he warms up pretty quickly. Very different than what he's acting like right now. He's a very high energy dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think he's just
feeling his way through
exactly.
us right now.
He's a little shy, but he loves to be outside. He loves to play. He loves to have people around. He doesn't really like to be left alone. He is a little bit of a door dasher. So, you know, just be prepared for that. And then he does get along with other dogs. With him being one, you know, he's still pretty moldable, but he has had experiences with chickens that didn't turn out well. And then kitties, not so much either. So just either other dogs.
Dog family.
Exactly. No other animals. And then with kids, because can get really rambunctious and he's 70 pounds, probably going to be about 80 once he really fills out. Probably older kids that can deal with his high energy.
Yeah, we've dealt with dogs who maybe are a little sketchy and maybe want to do the dash for the door, but once they get comfortable, that kind of goes away.
Yep.
All right. And again, for whether it be Percival or the pets you have over at Green Hill, for folks who are interested in doing the wonderful thing and giving a pet their forever home, what do we need to know?
Yeah, super simple. All you do is come down to over to Green Hill, and it's over in West Eugene, over off of Green Hill Road. Open 7 days a week, 11 to 6. You come on in, have any interest in any of the animals that we have, and you just fill out a one-page paperwork, and if everything jives, you go home with them.
The connection is made.
It is.
Always a pleasure, Sarah.
Thanks for having us.
That's Percival, a really gorgeous black pity mix. And again, you can learn more online, green-hill.org. Follow on Twitter, at Green Hill Humane. Again, adopt, don't shop. Give a doggy or a pet or a kitty or whoever. It's forever home. Be the best decision you make. We'll take a break. Back, more sports talk, 95.3 The Score.
But man, y'all got to coconut up.